Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. Says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
Fat on a rough road riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home.
Shut up your mouth, Obama. Shut up your mouth, Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fear.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild. Like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
Anti-government, anti-science, and anti-Obama. They have a trifecta.
Good morning, shipmates, and welcome to the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of the cost. Now, remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program today, don't be shy. 646-716-7978, or you can call the captain's chat room. Or call the captain's chat room. Good God, get some grog in here this morning. Wake up. I've had 14 cups of coffee. You think I'd be a little bit more alert than that, huh? Ay, ay, ay. But grog always does the trick. Gets you back on track. You know what I mean? You can join the captain's chat room. Anyway, let's get moving here. It's a very, very, very busy news day. You know it as I do. As long as there's one stinking liberal on planet frickin' Earth, it's going to be a very busy news day. So let's lift our jib and get this damn freedom ship underway. Ah, officially underway. Headed out to sea. Bosun mate, shift colors. Okay, before we get into the scuttlebutt of the day, there's a lot of scuttlebutts of the day today, as always. Anyway, I want to give you an update. I've been talking about this rally in New York City. Well, finally, I got some more information. I had to do a little bit of digging and this and then that and all this other kinds of stuff. Anyway, this rally in New York City, I keep thinking, I got a broken left-handed tongue, and obviously I got a broken left-handed calendar, because I had no idea. I was thinking that May 4th was next Sunday. I have no idea when it comes to stupid numbers, pain in the ass. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. The point is, May 4th, and it starts at 12 p.m., noon. What it is, it's across from the Jacob Javits Center, 34th and 11th Avenue. It's called Protest the American Psychiatric Association. Now, mind freedom, mind as in liberals don't have one, and freedom, liberals don't need it. They don't like it. Mind freedom. That's the name of the group that's organizing the protest against the American Psychiatric Association. It's their annual conference. I guess they have a conference. How they can kidnap more children. Anybody got any good ideas? Well, I got an idea. Let's use the taxpayers' money, get a grant, and steal the kids and make tons of money. We can get that new boat. Anyway, that's going to be May 4th, 2014. New York City. Sunday, it's not this Sunday. I'm an idiot. It's next Sunday. Which might work out better because I might be able to get something down there. So this Sunday, the equipment that I've got to borrow is not going to happen. But looks like we've got another week. Anyway, however, there is another one that I want to make. I got this last night. This is at the Massachusetts State House, which is Tuesday, April 29th. Let's check the captain's calendar here. Looks like I've got Thursday, April 24th. Now, if I'm wrong, then fine. That's the way it is. But that's what I've got. So 29th is going to be next Tuesday. That starts at 2 p.m. Where is it now? Well, it's in Boston. It's on Tremont Street, T-R-E-M-O-N-T. I checked it. It was on, it had a Google map. So it's got the little button there. It's in between Winter Street and Hamilton Place and Tremont Street. So it's called the State House. Here's what you do. You get into Boston. You know, it's ridiculous to drive there. Don't even try to attempt it. It's made for horses, not for cars. It's a pain in the ass. You know, one way's here, one way's there. You can't go here. You can't turn there. Me and my brother, my old friend, he just passed away a year ago. He's a good friend of mine. My brother and him came up, and we drove into Boston. I mean, it was ridiculous. You could reach out and touch anything that you wanted to go to, but you couldn't drive there. You could reach out and touch Fenway Park, but you can't drive there. It's crazy. I mean, it's just no signs anywhere. You got to know where the hell you're going. So what you do is you find yourself a cabbie that speaks English and say, take me to the Massachusetts State House. Them bastards will know where it is. Don't worry. You'll get there. It's Tuesday, April 29th at 2 p.m. Now, what they want you to do, well, let me read this. This is their press release that I got, their official press release. And I wish I knew who gave this out. There's so many people that I get stuff from. I forgot to put this down, but I did copy it. So anyway, the point is if you can get there, get there. Tragically, Justina Pelletier was unjustly taken from her family by the state of Massachusetts over 14 months ago. While under the care of DCF, the precious 15-year-old girl has been denied her religious freedoms, which that's not supposed to happen. I'm reading right here the Constitution. I got it right here. The very First Amendment, that's not supposed to happen. It says it right here. This isn't black and white, man. But I guess that's racist. Religious freedoms are racist. It's okay for, you know, I guess the certain religious group that you want. They get the freedom because you're afraid that they might kill you and rape you and blow you up. So you become their friend. But all those other Christians, oh, I hate them. And the Jews. God damn it. People need to stop worrying about all these stupid religions and just start worrying about people individually. Look, if the guy's a jerk, you know, find someone else who isn't a jerk. Move on. I don't know. Humans will never learn. Frickin' bastards. And they know the answer. But do they refuse to accept it and acknowledge it? No. Why? Well, because you can't make any money off of it. You can't make any money off a 15-year-old girl. She's not worth anything. Now she's in a wheelchair. Can hardly speak. I mean, God almighty. I mean, look at all those cows, though. There's a lot of money in those cows. Just one cow. Look at all the steaks you can get out of one cow. Look at all the milk you can get out of one cow. The press release goes on. She has been denied her religious freedoms, has not been properly educated. No school. They don't put them in school. This girl, don't even give her school. They give her no doctor, no school, no medication that was working, and it kept her functionable, where she could go out and ice skate and be with her friends, go to the movies, watch TV, play stupid video games, whatever kids do these days, dancing to Justin Bieber. I'm glad I don't have a kid right now that liked that little bastard. I tell you, him and me would not get along very well. Or the daughter, either. Neither one of them. That stupid Justin Bieber would not be allowed. That music would not be allowed in my house, period. But I know you can't stifle somebody's freedom of speech. You can't stifle that. And you can't do that to your kids. What kind of precedence does that set? You believe in freedom, but you take away their freedom. You just hope and pray that your son or daughter grows up to, you know, outgrow it. Anywho, let's get through this. There's a lot to talk about today. Not been properly educated and has been denied proper medical attention. 14 months ago, she was in ice skating competitions. Now, she can't walk. Gee. Can't make a steak out of her. Legislation has been proposed. Legislation. You have to propose legislation to stop the government from kidnapping kids. Now, God damn it. How does that make any sense? Here, you have, again, you can't write, you can't legislate common sense. You have to just freaking have it, man. God damn. You have to put in legislation that it's unlawful for the state to kidnap people's kids, put them in state care in rooms where they get no medical attention, no education, no opportunity to see your family, but maybe once a week for less than an hour, heavily supervised, and not allowed to talk about anything. Get pushed, get hit, get kicked. And this is happening to more than just Justina. We can't find anybody. Nobody in law enforcement? There's no cop out there? Nobody in the FBI? Are you guys all busy, huh? Huh? What, you got an office party today, huh? You can't go investigate? Child abuse? It's rampant? The taxpayers are paying these people to kidnap children and physically, mentally abuse them, and it's okay. You're afraid to say something. Not a cop, not a judge, not a lawyer, not a frickin' nurse. Nobody wants to be a whistleblower? Well, I'm sure there are. But they're not getting out. I want to get one of these people. I want to get a whistleblower. I want to find out from these people. Well, that's in a few weeks. Me and that reporter, maybe we're Raquel, maybe we can dig up something. We can find something. I'm not a reporter, but, you know, it doesn't take much brain power to start researching things. You don't have to go to journalism school to know how to research. You don't need to have a goddamn medical degree to know that you're freaking sick. Legislation. You got to propose legislation to stop the state from kidnapping and abusing kids. Jesus Christ. You think that would go understood? You wouldn't have to put that down on freaking paper. God almighty, man! God almighty, I can't even get through this freaking press release, for Christ's sake. Legislation has been proposed which would release Justina and hold the Patrick administration. You know, the governor. He can't do anything. His hands are tied. Well, maybe you find another hooker that won't do that to you. Or maybe tie her up once in a while. What the hell you mean your hands are tied? Your hands are not tied. Your hands are dirty. Dripping with blood. Literally. 94 children have died in the last 3 years under the Wayside Community, under their welfare department, the DCF, the Massachusetts DCF, whatever the hell. Department of Children and Families, their welfare department. The state owns kids. And they put them in these foster homes. God only knows who's running these damn things. And like I said, look, we had a home that was right across the street. That was a foster home. And, you know, the kids were troubled, but, I mean, the parents were good, and they were involved in the neighborhood. And everybody knew everybody. The kids would hang out with the other kids. So it was, you know, it was actually a pretty good environment. Now, there are a lot of, inner cities where that environment doesn't exist. Mom would have the guys mow the lawn, you know, give them a couple of bucks here and there. And there were kids that were trying. And the parents, we all knew the parents, and they had their own kids, too. So it worked out pretty well. These kids were, a little bit in trouble, but at least they were going to school with everybody else. They just lived in the group home. Yeah, they got into a little bit of trouble here and there. But, they had a good environment, and they were around a neighborhood. But I do understand there's a lot of these inner city places and inner city homes that, no, they just don't have that. And this is one of those cases because the state doesn't give a damn about these particular kids because they're there just to make money so they keep their job. Well, what is the point of that? Oh, well, look, we created a job. No, what you did was you took money out of the private sector to pay for these people, these loafs, these degenerates, these morons, these idiots, these goofs, incompetent boobs. I mean, just idiots. These people shouldn't even be working at McDonald's, for God's sakes. You give them a job. Why? Well, because they voted Democrat. And they've got the right skin color. And they got the right this. And they fit this billet. And they fit that billet. Look at us. We're all inclusive. Speaking of which, we got a story we might be able to get into it today. God damn it. I mean, I just can't believe what they did to Clarence Thomas with this affirmative action thing that went on with the Supreme Court. I just don't understand. I mean, if they're going to sit here and they're going to call the Tea Party racist of the things that I read, I mean, are just absolutely just, I don't understand how the left can possibly even think about calling the Tea Party racist at this point. It just makes, that's not a conversation. I mean, that's gibberish. That doesn't exist. Moving on. Hopefully they can hold the Patrick administration accountable for their tragic handling of this case. They haven't handled anything. It is critical that we support this legislative effort, which begins this week on April 28th. Since Justina loves, this is the important part now. Taking me goddamn into how long? 20 minutes. This is going to be a fun day today. I can tell you right now. We are going to be sailing in some rough seas today. That's all right. My ship can handle it. She's strong. She can weather your goddamn little storm, Democrats. I'm not afraid of you. Since Justina loves stuffed animals, which she does. Who doesn't love a stuffed animal? You got to be a freak. I love stuffed animals, and I do buy, I buy myself a Christmas present every year, some kind of toy of some sort. I got stuffed animals. I got all kinds of toys. I like toys. So what? Look, you know, if you can't enjoy, you know, little things, so what? That's toys. It's fun. It's not that I sit around and play with my toys all day. But who doesn't love a stuffed animal? Well, we invite you Tuesday, April 29th at 12 p.m. That's noon for you liberals. That's the time that, you know, you might start waking up. To bring a stuffed animal to the Massachusetts State House. Bring a stuffed animal. To stand in solidarity with Justina and call for her release. If you can get down there. Their hope is to have 436 stuffed animals. I think we can get 436 stuffed animals down there. Tremont and in between Winter and Hamilton. Find a cabbie. Say, take me to the Massachusetts State House. They'll know where the hell to go. But they'll get you there. Well, that's where you want to show up, and you want to show up with a stuffed animal. 436, which will equal the number of days Justina has been separated from her family. So bring as many as possible. If you cannot come to Boston, leave a stuffed animal outside your home or bring one to work. Find a way to get a stuffed animal in there. Look, we need any kind of attention, any kind of anything that the media is going to grab onto. I mean, it's absolutely sick and twisted that we got to use goddamn stuffed animals to get the freaking media to wake up. But we got to do anything. It's ridiculous. I mean, we've got evidence that this girl's been abused. Obviously, she's been abused if she hasn't seen a goddamn doctor in a year and a half, but once. She hasn't been taking her medication. And the one time that the doctor did see her, not allowed to tell the parents. I mean, this is ridiculous. What kind of doctor would do that? That's bullshit that they can get away with that, the state. Oh, because the state owns the kid? Well, the doctor would get in trouble for that. Can you imagine that? The doctor could probably lose his license to practice medicine because he practiced medicine. And part of medicine is informing the parents of a 15-year-old girl that's been in captivity for a year and a half, her goddamn medical status, for Christ's sakes. Again, I know you can't put this down in goddamn paper. Common sense. Oh, Jesus. My God, it's like garlic to a freaking vampire. Oh, no, come back, get it away, get it away, get it away. Jesus Christ almighty, America, what the hell? We're going to war over goddamn cows and turtles. We can't find anybody to go to war for this girl. And not just her. There's more of them. There's 94 of them that are now dead. 144 of them, they lost the files. God only knows where the kid is now. He's 18, blah, blah, now he's left to go out on the street. They're homeless. They got nowhere to go at 18. Well, I guess they can go back to their parents. Their parents haven't been arrested. I mean, what the hell? Why would we do that to ourselves? Why would we do that to anybody? I don't get that part of humanity. I don't get the point of it. I mean, I can understand if they did certain things to you, if this little child was, you know, had murdered a whole bunch of, you know, like your whole family or something. I can understand why you might want to slap her and push her. But as far as the information that I've been privy to, we don't see any evidence that this Justina was murdering any of these people's family members. Matter of fact, we don't see her even getting so much as a jaywalking ticket. But we can't get any cowboys to go save Justina because we can't make any stinks out of her. Not worth very much. So if you can get May 4th, not this Sunday, but the next Sunday, May 4th, if you can get to New York City, starts at 12 p.m., 34th and 11th across from Jacob Javits Center. You get into Penn Station, don't worry about it. You can get there. You can walk there. It's not that big of a deal. It's just a few blocks from Penn Station. You'll be all right. You'll be a little baby. And if you can make it into Boston, the Massachusetts State House, make sure you show up with a stuffed animal. They need at least 436. I think that you should be able to get 436. I did see some pictures of the last one last week, last Sunday. There was a lot of people there. Exactly how many, I don't know. I didn't count them. There was a lot of people. The American people know about it. It's just the media doesn't know about it. So the more American people actually speak up and say something about it and demand some kind of action, well, then the media is going to be forced to have to say something, investigate, do their goddamn job. What are you covering over there, Brian Williams, huh? Oh, covering Obama's little trip to Japan? Ordering $300 sushi sandwiches? Oh, for God's sakes. I mean, first of all, I don't eat sushi. I'd have to, respectfully decline. I don't eat uncooked fish. I'm very particular when it comes to fish. I'm a man of the sea, but I just don't like certain people cooking certain things certain ways. Grosses me out. I don't like that raw crap. I like my shrimp deep fried. I like cocktail sauce. I like little baby shrimps. I like them big shrimps. When they're cold, you just dip them in that sauce. Oh, yeah. Either that or, I don't like them sautéed all that much. I like them in fried rice. But I don't like a lot of stuff. And I'm pretty particular when it comes to certain things. And I'm not eating no raw fish. I'm not eating no raw squid and octopuses. I do like squid, though. I do like calamari, but I like it deep fried. But I'm not eating none of that stuff raw. That's wrong. I don't eat raw monkey brains. There's people in... God, it's gross, man. Whack a monkey over the head they until it's dead. They tenderize its brains. They cut the skull open and at the table. And people just stick their fork in there and just start eating the brains. Oh, this is good. No, that's not. Look, guts are for animals. Meat is for people. I don't eat guts of any kind. From lobsters, nothing. No guts. Guts are gross. Fish, no guts, nowhere. You don't eat guts of a deer, you get rid of that crap. But people, cows, they eat guts. The livers and all that. No, I'm not eating a liver. Anyway, can we move on here? Let's get to the scuttlebutt of the day, for God's sakes. This is what happens. Governor Rick Perry, thank God for Texas. God bless Texas. Thank you. But he's only got a few more months and then he's done. But Texas Governor Rick Perry, which I don't know what the hell happened to him. I mean, he started off strong. He had a lot of people support. I mean, he was saying all the right stuff. Then he gets into these debates, and then midway through, all of a sudden, he just falls asleep. It's like, hey, dude, we still got we're only halfway done. What are you going to do at 3 a.m. when you get that important phone call? Well, I guess somebody's going to have to wake him up. Get him a shot of Red Bull. Wake him up. But I do like him. If you can keep him awake, I do like Rick Perry. I was very disappointed that he blew his opportunity. I think if he turns it around and figures out exactly what the hell he was going to do, and I think the problem was it was impromptu. He didn't take the time to get it organized before he started. That was a lesson that he learned. Well, if he's, maybe when he gets out of office, maybe he can restart it. Maybe he's our ticket. I don't know. But I do like, the stuff that he does talk about. So far, I've not been too much that I've been, overly disappointed with the guy. Other than choking on those goddamn debates in the midway through them. I mean, I don't know what the hell was going on. But, I mean, there should have been a little bit, he should have had a better staff. But, whatever. That's history, can't do a damn thing about it. But Texas Governor Rick Perry warned the Federal Bureau of Land Management, that's the BLM, it's the guys that are supposed to be sitting in an office, are now out playing with shotguns and sniper rifles and dogs and tasers, helicopters, shooting them bulls.
Yep.
That bull poses me a threat. He might jump up into my helicopter and bring us down. Guess I gotta shoot him. Oh, yeah, that's self-defense, you know. But Rick Perry warns the BLM to stay away from Texas. Amid new concerns that it may be looking to claim thousands of acres of land in the northern part of the state. Of course they do. Why is the federal government buying up all this land, and what do they need it for? Shouldn't I still believe that any federal land that is purchased should have to go through Congress. Why? Why is it not? I don't know. Who gives the power that the federal government can just buy land in the first place? It should be owned by the states. That's the state's land. If the federal government, which I understand, needs to have certain land for certain things, I don't have a problem with it. I don't think anybody has a problem with it. But if the federal government is going to buy that land, they must have a reason for it. They can't just buy it for no reason. And you can't just buy, well, future reasons. Future reasons for what? Okay, we understand it's going to maybe take a, you know, maybe a few months, maybe even a year before things get going, but you have to get it going. You can't just buy land and keep it for yourself just so you can make some money by charging grazing fees so you can hire more people. So they can buy more dog food for their attack dogs. That's how you create a job. No, creating, you know, paramilitary forces is not exactly creating a job. It's creating tyranny, period. Well, but we're doing the work. We're keeping things secure and safe. No, you're not keeping things secure and safe. You're not stopping crime. You are creating crime. You are committing crime. Not only does the federal government already own too much land, the governor said, the feds are out of control. Well, yeah. And why is that? Well, they're obviously concerned with something. What are they afraid of? And what are they going to use this land for? Well, they don't want anybody to buy it. They don't want anybody moving out into the country and taking up land. They don't want anybody doing that. They want to keep everybody isolated so that they're not allowed to move out of that land. This is what they're doing. This is all part of Agenda 21, this whole, you know, new world order. That's all this is. And what they're doing is they're gathering up land around certain things and they're smothering people and keeping people either in there or they've got to move to another, you know, pre-government scheduled area here, blocked down area. That's why they're buying up all this land. So they can start suffocating people, pushing people closer and closer into these little areas so they can have more control over them. That's all this is about, and good for Governor Perry for standing up for this crap. Maybe we can get a couple other governors that might want to wake up? Oh, no, we can't do that. I want to get reelected. Do you want to get reelected, or do you want to do your goddamn job? You do your goddamn job, I'm pretty sure you're going to get reelected. And if you don't get reelected for doing your job, move to another state. I don't know. But at least you can go to bed at night going, you know what, at least I did my job, and I feel good about what I did. How many people in politics can think that? Well, they think that, but how much can they really say that and back it up? They can say anything they want to. I don't know how these people sleep with themselves with the lies that they tell. And they're so blatant. And it's like, how could you not? First of all, how could you find somebody, anybody, that it could possibly be that naive, that gullible that can believe that? I don't know. At issue are thousands of acres of land on the Texas side of the Red River, along the border between Texas and Oklahoma. Officials recently have raised concern that the BLM might be looking at claiming 90,000 acres of land as part of public domain. We talked about that yesterday, public domain. Further, the BLM claims it is not expanding federal holdings along the Red River. Of course they're not. No, we're not doing that, no. It's not a dare, it is a promise that we are going to stand up for private property rights in the state of Texas, Governor Perry announced. Good for you. What they want to do is they want to claim more land. We talked about that yesterday, the Tommy Anderson. Well, this is what they want to do. They got to buy up land wherever they can. And the land they can't buy up today, well, what they can do is they can force you out, like they've been doing for years. What they're trying to do to the Bundy Ranch. Well, this is what they do. They go up to these ranchers and they tax the living hell out of them, and they basically force them out of business. And they take their land for what? What are they using it for? Well, we got to save a turtle. Got to save a smelt. So we don't need the water coming in there. Because we want to save a smelt. Well, if you don't know how to save the smelt any better than this, I don't know what to tell you. All of New England could fit in the Bureau of Land Management land in Nevada. So why are they buying up the land? They got more nuclear testing to do out there? I still believe that if the federal government is going to buy up any land, they must go through Congress, and the American people must know what they're buying it for. And they must prove that they're actually using the land for what they need it for. Now, are there certain secret stuff, military kind of stuff that they need to have that nobody needs to know about? Okay, fine. We all know that. But when it comes to other people, the federal government should not. I'm sorry. I know they can claim this public domain crap, but that should be very, very, I mean, that really shouldn't, that should be under certain circumstances, certain conditions, certain things. But the federal government should not just be able to just start gobbling up land and just taking it away from people. And of course, their compensation is very little, if you get anything at all. And in this case, the federal government wants to get paid as they steal the land, then turn around and sell it to a wind farm. Everybody's making money, and the citizen gets screwed. But where are these cows going to go? What are they going to do? Well, we don't know. Somebody's got to take them. So what are they going to do instead of using them for what they, for meat? They'll just slaughter them and then bury them. That makes sense. Why would we want to use those cows? Why would anybody want to eat them? Why would we want to put them on another range? Sell them to somebody else who could use them. The acreage of Federal Bureau of Land Management. I mean, it just makes me, it's funny to me. The Bureau of Land Management, the Bureau. You would think a Bureau, an office job. Not a Delta Force Commando Squadron. Currently owns in the state of Nevada is more than all of the land in all of the states of New England combined. By contrast, the BLM does not own a single acre of land in any New England state. Well, they own a little bit in there, but I mean, by contrast. So why do they need that much land in Nevada? Is that Harry Reid that's buying up this land? for the government? Is that what he's doing? Is he brokering this deal? Is that what he's doing? I mean, we already know this Harry Reid. He's got all kinds of what I call ethics violations. Well, first of all, you get elected to Congress, you've already violated an ethic violation. But these are big ones, and he keeps getting away with it because he's the majority leader. Well, we can't do that. Well, why? Well, because he's the majority leader, so he's committing crimes. Yeah, I know, but he's a Democrat, and he's a majority leader. He can't do that. Now, see, if he was a Republican, then he'd be, you know, that's all right. You know, but see, you know, Harry Reid, he works for the little guy. He's out there fighting for that middle class, you know. So we've got to keep got people like that. And plus, he doesn't like the Tea Party, and he's targeting them. And he likes the IRS going after the Tea Party, too. So we got to keep him around. So, he's off limits. Oh, okay. The federal government, in other words, owns more than four times as much land in Nevada as all other landowners combined. 56 million? 57 million, basically. 57 million acres of Nevada owned by the federal government. The BLM controls 47 million. Why would the BLM need 47 million, almost 48 million acres? What are they doing in Nevada? Why would the Bureau of Land Management need that land? What is really going on down there? Is it wind farms? Is it turtles? Is it cows? What is really going on down there? Well, I don't think we're ever going to find out. Well, we've got to take a little quick little break here, and then we're going to come back. We're going to open up my treasure chest. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, and I'm actually getting almost ahead of schedule today, so we might actually get a lot accomplished. So we're going to listen to a little Hank Jr. It's the only song I got here today. I forgot to do a bunch of other stuff to download this stuff and put it in here. My bad, my fault. Sometimes, you know. Hey, it's the first mistake I've ever made in my life. What do you want from me? All right, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and then we'll open up my chest, and we'll get moving.
I'll go find a network want to treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. We're gonna take back our country. Well, it used to be easy to get a place, build a house. Now the EPA said no, that's the home of the blue mouse. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. We're gonna use some common sense and we're gonna take back our country. Well, they beaten to death that whole politically correct thing is run its course. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country. Whoa! Divorces from showing them bangs.
Why don't you mind your own business?
That's good advice.
Just mind your own business.
Dad got it right.
But if you mind your business, then you won't be minding mine.
Every sign says for sale, for lease. Price reduced. Make an offer, please. Don't tread on. Don't you tread on me.
we're gonna take back our country. There's no way today we could build Boulder Dam. There'd be way too many government permit scams. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for the good news? We're gonna take back this country. Barack, pack your bags, head to Chicago. Take your teleprompter with you so you'll know where to go.
So move it all over. Move it all over. Move it all over. Move it all over. Move over to the dog, cause the big dog's moving in.
Hey, 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 move it on over.
Move it on over.
Why?
Too, Hank. That's right. I know I played this song a lot, many, 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 many times, but that's all right. It's a good song. I like it. And hey, that's right. And don't tread on me. That is our motto. There's reasons for it. Anyway, let's open up my treasure chest here. Let's see what kind of booty we can plunder. Jesus, God. Benghazi attack could have been prevented if the U.S. hadn't switched sides on the war on terror. Well, yeah, you're right. Canadians, oh, look, we talked about this same story that happened in England. What was it, a couple of months ago, maybe a month ago, a couple of months ago? About those babies that they were aborting and then burning for heat? Well, now, the Canadians, un-frickin' believable, takes their aborted babies, ships them to Oregon, so they Oregonians can then burn them to provide electricity. Their waste-to-energy facility, where they take waste and they turn it into electricity and they burn it. Well, I can understand if you're going to use amputated legs and stuff like that. Okay, fine. What else are you going to do with them? But babies, I'm sorry, aborted babies, I'm sorry. I got just a little bit of problems with that. There should be other ways to dispose of it instead of burning it for electricity and for heat. Sorry, just got a little bit of problems with it. So now, the Canadians are sending over aborted babies into Oregon to be used to make out of our, to be used to make electricity. I don't know. Is there any respect, I guess, for life, understanding of what life really is? I mean, do we really, I mean, yeah, I know they're dead. There's nothing you can do about it. But I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just find that a little sick. I don't know if I could really be the, you know, the truck driver driving those aborted babies across the border into Oregon so they can burn them up to make electricity. But I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I just think all this stuff is sick, man. Obama skipped his aunt's funeral and went golfing instead. Imagine that. See, there's a reason why he is staying away from, he avoids his family. Even though she lived over here for how many years? And then even when President got, when Obama became president, she got a complete, she got amnesty, she got a pass, and she could stay there. She was living off Massachusetts government. Well, Obama has kept his distance from his whole family, which you start studying his family, you can see why. However, it's not because of that. It's because he doesn't want it to start sticking on him, because that is who he is. We all know who he is. too many people just flat refuse to want to accept it. Because they would have to admit that they're that way. But they keep going along with it. Just like those guards, just like the guards up there in the towers in Auschwitz. You know, young kids just going along with it. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to say this is wrong. Because they'll be thrown in the gas chamber too. Just doing my orders. So Obama goes golfing instead of going to his aunt's funeral. Well, that's nice. Clarence Thomas. He's the worst Negro in history. Did you know that? Wow. There's a little Twitter tat going on in the Twitter sphere. God, I hate those frickin' buzzwords. The Twitter sphere. Don't say that, God damn it. And stop with the Twittering. Why do we tweet so much? Can't we talk to people face to face? We got to tweet. Nancy Pelosi, she's out sending out tweets now. Says the GOP's budget is literally taking foods out of the mouths of people of color. So I guess the GOP is going around, and as soon as they see a black guy about ready to take a bite of that fried chicken, he's going to swoop it out of his mouth. Nope, you can't have that chicken leg, sir. We're the GOP. We're taking food out of your mouth. That's our job. I mean, what the hell is the matter with this woman? What the hell? How can you keep saying this kind of stuff, man? I mean, she was supposedly the Speaker of the House. I mean, this is stuff, I mean, you might expect, you know, an immature high school girl. I mean, you might expect that. Maybe in junior high. I wouldn't even think high school kids would act this goddamn immature. And now they got people calling Clarence Thomas because he went along, because he's black, and he went along with, you know, the majority of the Supreme Court. But it's because he's black, and he went against this affirmative action of colleges, which you shouldn't. First of all, you shouldn't get in there because of your stupid color of your goddamn skin anyway. You should get in there because of your grades. And if you don't have the right grades, you shouldn't get in. Shut up. Conversation ends. Well, that's what I guess, as far as I know. I don't know too much of the story, but as far as I know, Clarence Thomas went along with it. We're going to find out more about it. They said, yeah, you shouldn't have to hire, or you shouldn't have to accept X amount of black kids. Shouldn't have to accept X amount of this color kids, and these color kids, and these kinds of kids. No, you get in there, whether you if you're smart enough to get in there, you deserve to get in there, you get in there, period. Doesn't matter what your goddamn color is. Are you smart or are you stupid? That's it. That's your qualification. If you're smart, you can come on in. If you're an idiot, you need to go away. Well, that's how this president, your president, Barack Hussein Obama, that's how he gets his law degree. He claims he's a foreign exchange student from Kenya or Indonesia or goddamn who, Pakistan. We don't know where the hell he really came from. Who knows? Hawaii. Yeah, all right. Whatever. It doesn't really matter. All right. We've got to move on here. Good God, we will go on for hours and hours and hours, and then where are we going to go? People of color. That's how we got to be president. Oh, hey, look, hey, man, I'm just a foreign exchange student. Oh, okay, well, we got to pass this kid because he's a foreign exchange student. Then he goes to Harvard Law, becomes a head of the Harvard Law Review, which is what? A goddamn little school newspaper? Okay, puke. Sorry, not all that impressive, especially when you read it and it's gobbledygook. And this kid doesn't know anything. You guess he passes the law? He passes the bar? How did he pass the bar? You ever hear this man talk about the Constitution? There is no way that this man passed the bar. And then he becomes a scholar?
He's not a teacher, by the way. Not a professor. Speaker. Which, the information that I got rarely showed up. So what did he really talk about? You know, whitey's bad, blackie is good, because we get discriminated against. So then he goes out to court. One day in court. One day in court. Well, see, what would I think the Supreme Court justice, and I can call Clarence Thomas a Supreme Court justice. I can't really do that about Roberts. Scalia, I mean, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. I don't really know. Kennedy, I mean, good God, he's a mixed bag himself. You never know what the hell's going to come out of him. And the other ones, that stupid Ginsburg, that old bat, nothing intelligent comes out of that. Sweetheart, shut up. And then Kagan, she's another one. And then that hunchback, what the hell's her name? Oh, Sotomayor. Sotomayor. Oh, shut up. But see, this is what he was trying to avoid. And he went along with the majority. I guess it was a 6-2 decision. But because he went along with the majority, I guess. I don't know really the full particulars. We'll find out. But since he's trying to avoid this, of people like Barack Obama or Barry Santoro, of coming in and just because they're a certain color or a certain group or a certain category that they fit into, that they just breeze through college and get themselves, you know, a nice fat little diploma and get a job, and they're completely incompetent. So the only place that they can actually work, they can't get a job in the private sector, so the only place they can work is in the goddamn government. And you would think that the government would you have much higher standards of the people that they hire. Don't you think that the government would want the best instead of the worst? I mean, I'm just trying to put, you know, just saying. God damn. I mean, you're the government. Why would you want to take all the worst? Why not have the best? I don't know. But that's what we got. And that's what we need to fix. And we're the only ones that can fix it. All right, let's get going here. We might, if we got time, we'll talk about Obama's little trip there to the South Pacific. Looks like the Filipinos, they don't want him. They're out there protesting. They don't want Obama to come into the Philippines. Well, good for them. Good for them. I could go for a plate of lumpia right now. Oh, man, I love the Philippines. I love the Philippines. I love that place. Very nice place. I loved all that. Asia, Thailand, all that. Beautiful, beautiful country. Thailand is absolutely knocked down. I mean, everything about it is gorgeous. Everything. The Philippines, I love the Philippines. How could you not? I mean, come on. But anyway, Benghazi attack could have been prevented. Well, yeah, it could have been prevented first. If we weren't, you know, making weapon deals with Al-Qaeda, prevented it. Maybe if we didn't relax all of our security, that might have prevented it. Maybe if we'd have never brought our goddamn ambassador over there in the first place, that might have prevented it. Maybe if we'd have handled the situation in Libya with what the hell's his name, Gaddafi. Maybe if we would have handled that situation a little better, maybe that could have avoided it. I mean, the United States allowed $500 million of weapons to reach Al-Qaeda militants. Of course. That's only one. There's more. What happened in Benghazi is there's still weapons with that, too. Weapons, weapons, weapons. Why does this president want to put weapons in the hands of Al-Qaeda? I don't know. Why is he so, you know, I mean, he was making deals with the Russians, and then the Russians turned on him. Vladimir turned on him. Oh yeah, you wait till after the election, and I'll give Vlad all kinds of wiggle room, and we'll make some deals. We'll make some crooked deals, and we'll make some deals. I'll take care of them. But you gotta wait till the election's over. Well, election came over. Maybe that's what this whole deal really was. Maybe that's what they were really talking about. Who the hell knows? But Obama tried to act big and tough, thinking just because he's, America's always had the big and tough, brand. But that came from, leadership. It didn't come just because, we've got a flag and a constitution and we've got the greatest military. Citizens Committee on Benghazi claims the United States government allowed arms to flow to al-Qaeda-linked militants who opposed Muammar Gaddafi. The rise to power, the group says, led to the Benghazi attack in 2012. The group claims the strongman Gaddafi ordered to abdicate his presidency, but the United States refused to broker his peaceful exit. They didn't want that. They could have gotten it. Probably should have been the best way to go if they would have really wanted peace, if everybody really wanted peace. I mean, here, Obama, he wins an election and gets a Nobel Peace Prize. Is what, first week in office? He gets the call, hey, Mr. President, yeah, guess what? You just won a Nobel Peace Prize. The commission, part of the center-right Accuracy in the Media group, concluded that the Benghazi attack was a failed kidnapping plot. U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens was to be captured and traded for the blind sheik. We all know who he is. He did all kinds of stuff. The 93 World Trade Center bombing plot, he did all kinds of stuff. This is a bad dude, man. Well, I guess they stuck that cattle prod up Ambassador Stevens' butt too many times, and he died. So I guess they had to, make it look good, so they started blowing things up. Who the hell knows? We don't know. But we need to know who gave those stand-down orders and why. That right there is the key. That right there. But that will never come out. And why, I don't understand how you could, why this is not a question that we are allowing ourselves not to ask. Who gave the stand-down orders and why? That should be the only thing out of any one of those reporters' mouths when they go to that stupid White House press briefing this afternoon. Who gave the stand-down orders in Benghazi and why? Who gave those orders and why? We've been over that all such a long time ago. Oh, Benghazi. Oh, we can't ask that. Nobody wants to answer that question. Nobody dared to ask that question to the Secretary of State. Did she give it? Was it Valerie Goebbels? Did she give it? Who was in charge? Was it the president? Seems like to me the only one who would be able to give an order like that would be the president. Why would he give that order and then go upstairs to eat? Where was the president? Was he there? Was he on the golf course? Huh? Was he down at the bowling alley? Practicing up on his bowling? What was he doing? Was Jay-Z and Beyonce giving him a live performance? Huh? What was going on? Where was the president? Well, we don't know. I don't think he was involved in it. And I think they got scared, these people that were in charge. Where was the general? There was nobody in the war room. Whoever decided that they were in charge said, stand down, we don't want to do that, stand down, out of fear. That's a coward. That's incompetence. I'm sorry, but, that kind of fear, you do something like that and allow the enemy to keep attacking. I'm sorry, but that used to get you shot. But now it gets you promoted. The Citizens Commission on Benghazi. It's a self-selected group of former top military officers. Notice I said former top military officers. Obama's got, he's taking care of all those. Boy, he's got himself, he's got the FBI in place. He's got his generals in place, his admirals. He's got the people in place that he wants. Castro did it. Oh, Chavez down there in Venezuela, he did it. All them guys do it. They all do it. They all get the generals and admirals and all them top government agency brass people on their side. So they've got all these government agencies, the Bureau of Land Management. So they put a politician in charge of it, not somebody who's ever worked in the Bureau of Land Management. Oh, no, this is a political friend. And this particular political friend just goes along with whatever the administration wants to do. Oh, we want to take over land? We want to blow these people up if they get in our way? Okay. We'll send the troopers out there. Come on, boys. We've got to go kill some American citizens, the freedom lovers. They're haters. So let's go kill them. A self-selected group of former top military officers, CIA insiders, and think tankers. It declared Tuesday in Washington that a seven-month review of the deadly 2012 terrorist attack has determined that it could have been prevented. Duh! Now it's taking you another seven goddamn months to come up with that? We already know that it could have been prevented. If the United States hadn't been helping to arm the Al-Qaeda militias throughout Libya a year earlier. Claire Lopez, a member of the commission and a former CIA officer, said this. The United States switched sides in the war on terror with what we did in Libya, knowingly facilitating the enemy, facilitating the provision of weapons to known Al-Qaeda militias and figures. That's why they blamed it on that video. They don't want this coming out, that they were making deals with Al-Qaeda. Well, why would you make a deal with Al-Qaeda in the first place? That's what I don't get. None of this even makes any sense to me. Why would you make a deal with Al-Qaeda? Why would you have anything to do with them? How did you even get in contact with them? That's what I'd like to know. What the hell was Obama doing in contact with Al-Qaeda? Obviously, he had to have been in contact with Al-Qaeda before he ran for president. How many Al-Qaeda members came over here and voted? I mean, we've got some big problems in this country. I'm sorry, they're not itty-bitties. These are huge. These are not itty-bitty problems. These are big problems. Big, big, big. We're the only one that can fix it. And all we have to do is be brave. We go in the voting booth and we demand the change. We have to do it. We're the only ones that can change. We have to change in our mind and we have to change in our heart. We have to change in our belly. That's all we got to do. When we go in that voting booth, we're the only ones in that booth. We can vote for anybody we want. Make sure you vote for the right one. Then when you get out, you make sure. You demand that person that you put into office, you demand that person be held accountable. And if they're not, you got to get rid of them. I do believe in that recall, but I believe in that recall. I mean, you need to have a good reason. I mean, you can't just recall because, you know, of a particular policy that you don't like. That's what liberals are doing in Wisconsin. They're still trying to get rid of that governor. Even though he's doing great things in the state of Wisconsin, lowering unemployment. I mean, he's got, you know, trying to balance his budget and doing what a governor should do. Why is it always these governors are doing what they should do, are always the biggest crooks and criminals and horrible, just gang raping? But the people that are allowing children to be kidnapped by the state and left in a room to die with no medication, no attention, no education, nothing, no physical contact with your family. That's okay. Why? How did we get this backwards? That's what I'd like to know. And why are we here? For what? Who's gaining? And what is the gain? What's the prize? This is what I would like to know. What, you get to keep your job? So all these kids have to be thrown in rooms with no medical attention? No physical attention? Abuse? Mentally and physically? Not allowed to practice their religion? Not allowed to meet with their parents or their family? Not allowed to have an education? Not allowed to have any medication? I mean, this is sick stuff. And we can't find one goddamn cop who can put his goddamn donut down for 1 minute. Can't find a judge. We can't find a lawyer. We can't find anybody. Not a nurse, not a this, not a doctor, nobody. Find the governor. His hands are tied. It's just goddamn sick. But if you're a cow, we got to go to war over you. But if you're a human life, you're not worth anything. Just keep her in a room and just, let her die. Yeah, we did switch sides on the war on terror. Well, the American people didn't, but this government did. Obama did. That's right, they were facilitating Al-Qaeda. She blamed the Obama administration for failing to stop half of $1 billion United Arab Emirates arms. The UAE arms shipment for reaching Al-Qaeda-linked militants. Remember, these weapons that came into Benghazi were permitted to enter by our armed forces, who were blockading the approaches from air and sea. They were permitted to come in. They knew these weapons were coming in, and that was allowed. So here, our president, our Secretary of State, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Give me that Rodham crap. All right, shut up. Man, they did some crooked stuff, man. Anytime Hillary Clinton's involved in anything, she just can't help herself of getting involved in crooked things. This woman cannot help herself getting involved in criminal activity. And she gets away with it. Well, keep going there, sweetheart. Eventually you're going to get caught. Criminals always get caught. If you stop, you can't get caught. But you keep going the way you go in there, girl, you're going to get caught. And I want to see you get caught, too. You've done a lot of crime over the years, and you've gotten away with it. You need to be punished. The intelligence community was part of that. The Department of State was part of that. And certainly that means the top leadership of the United States, our national security leadership, and potentially Congress, if they were briefed on this, also knew about this. The weapons were intended for Gaddafi, but allowed by the United States to flow into his Islamist opposition. Wow. And it goes on. The White House and senior congressional members of the group wrote in an interim report released yesterday, or 2 days ago, deliberately and knowingly persuaded a policy that provided material to support terrorist organizations in order to topple the ruler Muammar Gaddafi. Some look at it as treason, said Wayne Simmons, a former CIA officer who participated in the commission's research. I call it treason, yes. Retired Rear Admiral Chuck Kubik, another commission member told reporters that those weapons are now all in Syria. Why would we do this? And why can't we get anybody, we can't get a Congress to investigate it because they just found out. It looks like Congress, there were members of Congress that were involved in it. Was that you, Harry Reid? How about you, Nance? Were you involved in that, Nancy? Were you? Who was involved in that? Obviously, you know, the president was involved in it. He's got to have his attorney general. He's got to be involved in this. Who was all really involved in this? And why can't we get anybody to say anything about it? Are we really that afraid? Well, obviously, there's a lot of people that are. Obviously, now we know we've got the FBI, we've got the CIA. I mean, this president has got, he's very well protected. This man has surrounded himself with all kinds of protection here. This is, why? For what? What is his gain? What is he trying to accomplish? I don't get the gain. I don't get the end result other than, you know, certain friends are rich and everybody else is poor. I don't get it. Why is he making deals with Al-Qaeda? Is he trying to buy them off so they don't bomb us anymore? That's not a way to deal with anybody. Certainly not the goddamn enemy. Especially the same people that decided to, you know, fly a bunch of airplanes into our buildings, kill about 3,000 of us at a clip. You don't make any kind of anything with these people. There's no communication with these people. We're going to have a sit down. We're not going to be on the golf course. We're not going to have dinner together. We're not going to chat. We're not going to send each other tweets. Gaddafi wasn't a good guy, but he was being marginalized, Mr. Kubik recalled. A rear admiral. Gaddafi actually ordered or offered to abdicate shortly after the beginning of the 2011 rebellion. But the United States ignored his calls for a truce. The commission wrote, ultimately backing the horse that would later help kill a U.S. ambassador. So what he did was, instead of, I mean, he wanted to just be done, which should have happened. But Obama said, "No, I want to please my little Al-Qaeda friends over here. I want to give you up. They're going to kill you, and we're going to make a weapons deal, and that's the way it's going to be. Because I've got a peace prize, and I'm a Democrat, and rainbows and unicorns for everybody. Hope and change." The admiral said that the effort at truce talks fell apart when the White House declined to let the Pentagon pursue it seriously. "We had a leader who had won the Nobel Peace Prize," the admiral said. Well, look, I mentioned the Peace Prize, too. Look at that. "But who was unwilling to give peace a chance for 72 hours. Well, of course. Because it wasn't his idea. That's another thing liberals have. It's not their idea. Forget about it. They're never going to go with it. It has to be their idea, period. Otherwise, that's it. Nope. Yeah, but you never heard it. It doesn't matter. It's not my idea. It's yours. It's bad. You're a hater. I believe in rainbows." In March 2011, the admiral said that the United States Army Africa Commander General Carter told NBC News that the United States military was not actively targeting Muammar Gaddafi. The reveal that was a signal to the Libyan dictator that there was a chance for a deal. Gaddafi responded by verifiably pulling his forces back from key rebel-held cities such as Benghazi and Misrata. I guess that's how you pronounce it. Misrata, whatever. Gaddafi wanted only two conditions to step down. permission to keep fighting Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, whatever. He wanted to keep fighting him. And lifting of sanctions against him, his family, and those loyal to him. That seems like a pretty fair deal, right? Keep fighting this Al-Qaeda. Well, see, a lot of these leaders, these dictators, they're fighting Al-Qaeda because Al-Qaeda would take over. They don't want that. They don't want to give up the power. Now, Saudi Arabia, well, it's all, you can't be anything in the kingdom. You can't be anything but Muslim. They fight a little bit of it because they don't want somebody, you know, their royalty being threatened. And that's what it's all about. It's all about power. It has nothing to do with really Allah, religion, or Muhammad, or the Quran, or any of these good things, Ramadan. No, it has nothing to do with this. It has to do with power. Religion is about, there's a lot of religions. They use the religion. Well, it's not religion that's the problem. It's the people and how you use the religion. That's the problem. You can use any religion as a tyrannical tool. There are Christians out there that do it. Muslims, Jews, any of them, anything. It doesn't matter what it is. The religion itself isn't the problem. It's how you use it. It's the human being that's the problem, not the religion. So when you misuse anything, it's going to be a problem. This administration misusing its power. And the reason it's misusing its power is because it doesn't understand its power. This president doesn't understand the role of the president. He doesn't understand the role of Congress. He doesn't understand the role of anything. He understands that if he likes it, it shall be. I'm the king, and I've got a pen, and I've got a phone. And if you won't do it, I'll do it myself. All right. Admiral James Lyons, otherwise known as Ace.
Yeah.
He must be a pilot. Told the group that he believes the raid on the Benghazi compound was intended as a kidnapping exercise aimed at snatching Mr. Stevens and demanding a prisoner swap for the blind sheik. The attack, history shows, grew in intensity and resulted in the deaths of Stevens and three other U.S. personnel. Lyons also said the U.S. claims that it lacked the resources to mount a counterattack in time to save lives is false. I'm going to tell you that's not true. We had 130-man unit of forces at Sigonella, which is an Air Force base in Italy. They were ready to go. The flight time from this base in Italy to Benghazi is roughly an hour. Imagine that. They can get there in an hour. They could be on the ground, whooping some ass. Saving lives, but no, stand down. That right there is treason enough. That's treason right there. Stand down order, that's treason right there. Allowing the enemy to continue your attack, that is treason. The conversation just ended, boom. Why this entire administration, first of all, I mean, we're looking at criminal offenses here. Treason is punishable by death in some cases. And since we lost four American brothers, I think there's somebody involved in somewhere needs to lose their life too, right? I mean, eye for an eye, right? Instead, they get a chance to run for president and a chance to get reelected. Chance to get promoted. A chance to keep your job even though you're under contempt. The more trouble a Democrat gets into, well, the more money they end up making. They get promoted. They win a re-election. They get elected. And they say crime doesn't pay. Really? Well, look, what happened in Benghazi, fast and furious alone right there, the Attorney General should have at least been fired. I mean, at least. Disbarred as well, too. I mean, come on. I mean, that's an automatic. Jesus Christ. Why the president didn't do anything says the president knew about it, which means he should have lost his job too. We never should have had, we never should have gotten to the IRS and Benghazi and the NSA. We never even should have gotten to those. Obamacare never even should have gotten to that. It should have been over. Should have been over and fast and furious. Should have been done. No, we signed on for 4 more years of it. 8 glorious years of this stuff, and we can't do anything about it. Congress's hands are tied. They're going to put another little statement on paper and put it in the court system so it can rot. Mr. Gowdy, I love you. I want you Speaker of the House, but and no more court. This is impeachment territory. And it has been for a long time, Mr. Gowdy. Don't argue with me. I'm right. You're wrong. I don't want to hear any argument because there is no argument to hear. How much more? What more do we need? How many more lives have to be lost? How many more lives have to be ruined? How many more livelihoods have to be ruined? How many more children have to be kidnapped? What the hell is it going to take? How many more guns are allowed to be going to the hands of the Mexican drug cartels? How many more cattle are going to have to be murdered? How many more women are going to have to be tasered and beaten in the streets? It's all about money. It's all about power. It's never about freedom, which is what it should be. It's never about the Constitution. It's never about how the American people feel. It's how are the Democrats going to fare? How are the Democrats going to fare in this next election? That's a midterm election. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. The groups, the commission noted, all joined in condemnation of the video and even more troubling issued calls for restrictions on Americans' free speech rights. They tried to blame this on a video and appears to have been well coordinated with the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood organizations as well as the Islamic State members of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Now, didn't I tell you before, and I know I've said this, that I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that little demonstration and all this about the video wasn't concocted. And what went on there in Egypt, the little, I guess, I don't know, somebody, whatever they did. They were dancing in the streets, I don't know, setting off firecrackers. I don't know what the hell they were doing. Some kind of demonstration, which you knew. I didn't buy that as legitimate anyway. Well, we probably gave the information to them and said, here, go start something. They were covering their ass before. They knew something was going to happen. So they were covering their ass before it even started. I mean, these people are just sick. But Simmons, a former CIA officer, criticized the Obama administration on the familiar refrain of then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, exclaiming in a Senate hearing that it mattered little why the Benghazi facilities were struck. They believed they were going to be saved, and they were going to be rescued, but they weren't. Mr. Simmons said of the 4 Americans who died, I know who made the decision in my heart of hearts to leave our war fighters there and be blown up. And then to have one of the most powerful politicians in our country sit there and say, what difference does it make? Should be an alarm bell for all Americans. It haunts me. I play that line over and over and over and over in my mind. Mr. Simmons, thank you for standing up and saying what is right. And what sucks is the fact that I have to thank you. You should not have to be thanked for saying what is right and speaking the goddamn truth. That's not something that you should have to think. But in this day and age, I've got to thank you because we don't see this very often. It's refreshing. And it haunts me too, Mr. Simmons. The group has called for a select congressional committee to investigate the Benghazi episode. Episode? They're calling it now. It's an episode. Huh. Like a epileptic fit? Is that what you mean by episode? Getting a cattle prod up your ass? Is that what you mean by an episode? Episode? A total of 189 House members have signed on to a bill that would create the committee. Another goddamn committee. Enough with committees. I mean, how much more evidence do we need here, guys? Come on. Why are we farting around with these frickin' committees? Okay, we got another review that came out. Okay, that says stuff, you know, that we already knew, but just spelled it out. Why is there not action being taken? Why is this morning? Why is Hillary Clinton not sitting before the members of the House or the Senate or anybody? A grand jury? Somebody? Huh? Why is not somebody being sitting in front of a grand jury or a committee today, right now? Why is it taking this long before we have really done anything? Oh, we got to gather all the information. How do you – you don't need that length of a time to gather that much information, especially when it – especially after it just happened. All the information should be there. And we're only asking for, you know, stuff like, well, where was the president? Who gave the stand-down order? I mean, that shouldn't take two frickin' years to find that information out. Not for nothing, but should not take that long. A total of 189 House members have signed on to a bill that would create the committee, which would be a bipartisan. Bipartisan? There's no such thing. Don't give me bipartisan. And have sweeping powers to subpoena the executive. House Speaker John Boehner. Well, you know, look, you know, this sounds all warm and fuzzy. Oh, you can subpoena the executive branch. Well, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm sick and tired of, you know, these empty words. Everybody talking big and then deliver nothing. So, you know, and look, we're all human beings. We all do that. But this is something different. Too many times we keep hearing from these people. And too many times we don't see anything from these people. Hearing is great. Oh, that's great. But, you know, I'm going to need to see, too. House Speaker John Boehner. Lopez said Tuesday he blocked it. One has to wonder if he and Congress have some sort of briefing on what happened. Kubik said that Congress is unable to break law jams in the Obama administration and find out what happened in the days leading up to and following the Benghazi attack without a new committee. If they don't have strong subpoena power, if they don't have the ability to long-term cross-examination, it will not tell me. This tells me right here, John Boehner, he's obviously dirty in this. So he'll come out and he'll tell the president, hey, look, you know, I got to come out and tell my base that, you know, we expect results of Benghazi. And I'll let Daryl Issa have a couple of committees, but we're not going to really do anything. Don't worry about it, you know, because I know what's going on over there. I made a deal, and I'm just as guilty as you, and we can't let anybody find this out. So I'll take care of you, Mr. President. But I got to show that I'm big and tough, and I got to pound my chest from time to time. And I might even have to argue with you, and you know, over tweet. Mr. Boehner, you are absolutely freaking disgusting. You son of a bitch. What the hell? I cannot stand people. I cannot stand these phony people. This man, John Boehner, Speaker of the House, has blocked more opportunities for conservatism. And then he's got the audacity to come out here and I've not broken one conservative value my entire time. Excuse me? There's over $3 trillion in debt due to you. That's $3 trillion right there. Here's $3 trillion and one. He doesn't want anything to go on with Benghazi. See, there were politicians that got this information, and they knew about it. And see, they do that, too. See, this is what they do. They get the key members of Congress to be privy of certain information that they may know or may not fully understand, but the information is out there, so they get it, and now they've got them. So if anything happens, anything goes awry, well, now they've got John Boehner, and now he's Speaker of the House. Well, they've got him now. Now he can't really do anything, because if he does, it's going to find out that John Boehner knew all this illegal activity was going on and didn't do anything, and he was complicit, and he got paid off and this and that and everything else. So we'll just throw out a couple of hearings and a couple of, you know, this and that, and we'll make it look like we're really doing something, but there's really nothing there. John Boehner is covering his ass. Well, we need to vote his ass out. This is the kind of stuff that we no longer need. I don't care if you're Republican or not. Your stupid political goddamn affiliation means nothing to me. I can't stand parties. You know I can't stand parties. It's not the party I'm voting for. It's the individual. I just want to vote for somebody. Vote for. I don't want to vote against. But we have so many opportunities in our Congress to actually get things done, but we've got too many people in charge of too many positions and too many things that are blocking it. So we need to vote these people out. You know who they are. And if you don't, if all else fails, vote out whoever was in office. Screw them. Look, we've got to set the example. We've got to set the precedent. You work for us or you're gone. Period. We need to take control. This is us. We are the managers. We are the CEO. We are the chief executive. We are in reality the commander in chief. This is our government. It's not theirs. This is our government. And we hire the people we want to run it. And if we can't hire the right people, well, we have to reap what we sow. If you've got a business and you hire nothing but incompetent people, well, your business is going to go under, isn't it? Well, the government, it'll never go under. I'll just keep taxing and borrowing more money from China. All else fails, I'll just go to war. Now, let's get into this story here now. About Canadians sending over their aborted babies. Victoria, British Columbia, which I've been there. Beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Canada's a gorgeous country. Good God. I mean, when planet Earth was being created, man, somebody, you know, I mean, you can call it God, you can call it the spirits, you can call it whoever. Whoever or whatever created Canada was in a really good mood that day. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Victoria, British Columbia, April 23rd, 2014. The British Columbia Health Ministry has admitted that the remains of babies destroyed by abortions in British Columbia facilities are ending up in waste-to-power facilities in the United States, providing electricity for residents in Oregon. The provinces... Health Ministry said in an email to the British Columbia Catholic that the biomedical waste shipped to the United States to be incinerated. God damn it, can you read? I need a shot of grog. I've only had only a couple of shots today, and I'm doing pretty good. Shipped to the United States to be incinerated. Includes human tissue such as surgically removed cancer tissue, amputated limbs, and fetal tissue. Now, again, I can understand, you know, gets leg cut off, you know, gets gangrene, whatever. Amputated limbs and, you know, tissues and taking out livers and kidneys and stuff. What are you going to do with it? You know, what are you going to do? So I guess I can see that, but I don't know, aborted babies, I'm sorry. I just have a problem with them just throwing them in the trash cans. They're just leaving them there. I don't know. It just seems to me that the lack of respect to life and for life It just seems to be missing. And why are we missing that? What are we missing in our culture that allows us to get to that point? How did we get that shallow? How did we get that empty? How did we get here? Why? We've seen the results. We know that there's no gain to it. Why are we allowing ourselves to stay here? I don't know. I haven't accepted it ever. The ministry understands that some is transferred to Oregon, then into the incinerator, blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't know. Look at this. This is a 2007 article. There's a big old fat slice of irony pie here for you. In 2007, an article about the Marion Waste to Energy Facility that appeared in the Willamette Live was ironically titled "Burn, Baby, Burn." Stated at the time, the incinerator burned about 800 tons of medical waste per year. And little did they know that it was the actual babies that were being burned. Medical waste is brought to the facility in sealed boxes and is carried to the furnace on a conveyor belt, which layers it into the rest of the solid belt. Blah, 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 blah. I just think there's a better way that we can dispose of aborted babies. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I know it's medical waste. It's not a real life. It's not a real person. It's not, you know. But we can find another way to dispose of them. You know what I mean? Now it's happening in Britain, now the United States. Well, obviously, it's been happening all over the world. People are now finding out, hey, that's why they're promoting abortion so much in the United States. Well, we got to burn electricity somehow to run these Priuses because we don't have coal mines anymore. So we might as well burn babies. We'll get them Priuses to run. How about that? That's a hell of a plan. Step right up. Get your free abortion here. Free abortion here. Get your free abortion here. Abortion. Obama skips aunt's funeral. We're not going to cover this stupid story. Who cares? This aunt, didn't she die like a couple of weeks ago? What's taking so long to bury her? I don't know. Whatever. So the president, he goes golfing. I'm not going to go to the funeral. See, the reason why he stays away from his family is because his family is just like him, and he doesn't want anybody to know that. I mean, how do you disown your family like that? He disowned that preacher, Jeremiah Wright. I mean, look, the guy's been his friend for whatever. He baptized his kids. He did this, he did that, and then just to toss him aside when it gets politically, you know, too hot. I mean, that says, you know, right then and there, I mean, nobody should have voted for Obama just for that. I mean, come on. Look, you don't do that. Look, right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, that's your family, that's your friends. Now, if you don't like the way they are, then don't be their friend. But when they get caught for being who they are, and you know who they are, don't give me this. You sat in those pews for 20 years and you didn't know Jeremiah Wright? Oh, come on. Baptize your kids? You didn't know this kind? Oh, come on. We know Michelle was that way in college, but we're not allowed to read her paper. You know, might find out, you know, she hates America. I wonder how many flags Michelle Obama burned in her college days. Think she burned a lot of them? I bet she did. I bet she was a flag burner. She just strikes me as a flag burner. I don't know if Barack would do it or not. He probably would. Probably was there smoking a joint. Was too stoned to do anything about it. Just laughing at Michelle burning the flags. Who knows? I'm not saying that they were actual flag burners. I'm just having fun with the situation, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit. But are they or not, I don't know. I don't have any. But let's get into here now, this worst Negro in history. I thought we weren't allowed to use that word Negro anymore. I thought Negro was like offensive or something. You can't say Negro anymore. The Supreme Court voted 6-2. Looks like Ms. Kagan did not participate. I wonder what she was doing. The Supreme Court voted 6-2 to uphold Michigan's right to prohibit affirmative action in college admissions. SCOTUS was castigated by plenty of angry liberals, but Justice Clarence Thomas was singled out for particularly nasty treatment. The Supreme Court is right. We don't need affirmative action anymore. We already have Clarence Thomas. How many more tokens do we need? Clarence Thomas is against affirmative action. He should give up the black seat on the court. He's only there because Team Marshall was there before. Thurgood. Uncle Ruck, I mean Clarence Thomas, admitted affirmative action. I got him into school, but still upheld Michigan's vote to ban it. Well, I think Clarence Thomas got ahead by his brain. He didn't get ahead like Obama did, who doesn't have a brain and only graduated and passed the bar because he lied about being a foreign exchange student and he was the right color. Clarence Thomas actually is a pretty smart guy. He worked to get where he is. And he did not deserve the treatment that he got, just simply the Senate hearings of the things that Kennedy, the things that they said, and they harassed his wife. I mean, that's ridiculous, that stuff. You'd never do that to a black Democrat. Oh, my God. So why do they got to get off on him? I mean, they got some nasty stuff in here, man. Clarence Thomas is, for lack of a better word, a Tom. No, actually, that's the perfect word. That's a female named Yo. Clarence Thomas can, for the umpteenth time, go F himself. Maybe the Supreme Court shouldn't be mostly old white guys and a black guy who really wants to be liked by old white guys. Why is skin color? And I'm looking at here in all these pictures, these are all black people saying this stuff. They should look at Clarence Thomas as an example. But here's somebody to emulate. You stay in school, you study, you mind your own goddamn business, and you use logic. Then you work for what you want. But no, Jay-Z and Beyonce, that's your idol. Obama, lie. Say that you're a foreign exchange student and you get free college and you'll pass the bar just because you're not a real student. You're a foreign exchange student and they don't want to seem racist by failing you. Well, I understand the intent of affirmative action, but that's not the right way to go about it. You see what I mean? You can't legislate the heart. That starts with the mind. You got to change the mindset and the culture. You can't do it legislatively. Oh, you got to hire so many black people and so many this color, these people, and this so many color, that people. Okay, it doesn't matter if they're competent or not, if they can't do the job. I mean, see, this is where you get the low quality. People get hurt. People get killed from this crap. You need to hire the best man for the job, period. If they're not qualified to do the job, they don't deserve the job. You didn't do your homework, you don't deserve to graduate high school. You didn't pass the test, you didn't pass the class, you don't deserve to pass. But you got the right color, you deserve to get on through, and here's your law degree to boot. Oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, you go here, you sign right here, now that makes you president. And here's your pen and your phone. Go to work, kid. I mean, they talk about, you know, white people being prejudiced, judging by the color of their skin. I mean, listen to Martin Luther King. I don't see anybody on the left practicing Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King still would be a Republican today. He probably, you know, I mean, God only knows, But I mean, I'm sure he would have changed the Republican Party in a way. But just those words, judging somebody by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin, I mean, that, to me, I mean, that's just common sense. That's how it should be, right? Well, you would think, but it's not. But who keeps bringing up color? Everybody from the left. You don't hear the right bringing up color. But because Clarence Thomas voted with the majority, 6-2. Didn't go after anybody else. Just went after Clarence Thomas. Why? Because he's black. He's a Tom, an Uncle Tom. And Clarence Thomas doesn't strike me as somebody who's really that concerned with having white people like him. But that's just me. The hell do I know? And now we got this idiot, Nancy Pelosi, which you can't get any dumber than this woman. You can't get any dumber than her. It's impossible. Under the GOP budget, millionaires get a $200,000 tax cut, and communities of color are stuck with the bill. I mean, where did you get this stuff, sweetheart? What's the matter with her? Over 50% of food stamp recipients are people of color. Now, wait a minute. I thought it was like the majority were white people that got food stamps. Now she's saying 50% of food stamp recipients are people of color. What does that mean, people of color? What color? Well, white isn't a color? What is it? I mean, what is she talking about? What does that mean? I guess black people. I guess that's what it means. And Hispanic people. The GOP budget takes food out of their mouths. Takes it right on out. Right when you're just about to bite into that. What the hell? That's right. With the GOP, we're going to take food out of your mouth. I mean, this woman's an idiot. I mean, I'm not talking about her anymore. I'm not talking any more tweets. We're going to turn that off. What the hell else have we got in here today? But I mean, how do you do that, and why do you do that? I mean, if you're in high school, you're trying to play some little stupid little game. I mean, not even then. I mean, I never even played any of this kind of crap. I mean, you would think this would come from children, not from adults. The GOP budget is not taking food out of anybody's mouth. The problem is they're taking money out of your pocket because you have been stealing it for too frickin' long. They don't like that. Yeah, that's right. Shut up. All right. We got one other story we're going to get into, but we're going to get into it tomorrow because we're running dangerously close out of time, and we've got to turn this ship around and get back into port. I want to thank everybody that was listening here today on your smartphones, in the chat room, and all those people that will download later and archive it. I want to thank you for listening. Make sure you come back here tomorrow morning at 10. Tomorrow will be Friday. Hopefully my brother is sober enough. He'll call in for some football updates, some kind of news or something, but I doubt it. But if he is, we got something good. Maybe he's got something good. I don't know. But in any event, we'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 10. Goodbye, everybody.